Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1998 General Convention held at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The speaker for this session is Brother Mike Balco, whose subject is Welcome Address.
And peace unto you, brethren. In the name of our Heavenly Father and our present Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I welcome you all to this General Convention and the wonderful privilege that the Lord has given us to assemble together in His presence that we might glorify and honor His name and thank Him for the love that He has shown us throughout our life. I would like to extend to you the love of your brethren from around the country and from the foreign countries of Poland, Ukraine, Romania, and Hungary. We thank the good Lord for the brethren that we have met, and they sent their love with us in all places, and especially a message, the love of the brethren as the Dawn family. Most of the Dawn family, I think they're all here, and it would do you well to, while you're here, to meet each one and thank them for their labor of love that they so untiringly perform in dispensing the word of truth, the kingdom message, to all the earth. And that's where it goes. This kingdom message is going to all the earth. Of course, this place is not familiar to you, but it's very familiar to me. In my lifetime, I've traveled this direction for over 50-some years. Sister Balco is from this area. She's only from 18 miles from here, so I'm quite familiar with this area. But I'd like to familiarize you with some of the events of the Johnstown area. In the summer of the 1998 convention, and this city is which you can't see from here, but it's not too far away. Some of you may be history buffs, may have recalled the great flood of May 31st, 1889. This was the greatest flood to hit the United States, even unto this day. There has never been a catastrophe in this country as large as that flood. It claimed 2,209 lives. And the city was sought to remember these who lost their lives by a memorial that they have set up. Also, there was another flood in 1936, and in 1977, one of the coldest winters, and a flood again, which claimed 50 lives. And I might mention one of the brethren from the Pittsburgh area, who is here at the convention today, can tell you of many heart-rending pictures of rescue attempts that were made, for he was among those who were sent to rescue those helpless at that time. Maybe Brother Charlie Mardik, if you talk to him, or maybe during the testimony meeting, he might tell you some of those experiences of the heart-rending event that took place in 1977. But today, these are all but memories. As we look about in the tranquil surroundings that we are privileged to be here, as we look back, we want to remember something more uplifting. Approximately about 70, 75 miles from here is a place called Old Allegheny. Some of you older brethren would remember Old Allegheny and have served there in years past. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, an event took place that bound this area to that of Old Allegheny and eventually to all parts of the earth. A gentleman by the name of Charles Taz Russell was born in Old Allegheny in 1852. Being raised by Christian parents, this young man became keenly interested in the teachings of the Bible. And he wondered, perhaps as some of you may have, that these teachings did not harmonize with those of the Bible. And at the tender age of 17, he became so upset by the theory that all except a few would go to eternal torture upon their death, that he left the church. He reasoned, how could God create a human family and then torment them eternally if they did not live up to his standards during their lifetime? And since he continued to believe in the Supreme Being, in God, the Creator, he searched all manner of records, all manner of creeds and philosophies. And he was searching for the right answer to these questions that he had in his heart and in his mind, as many of you must have already done in your life. And as he studied, and as he pursued, he kept a pureness of heart and a pureness of intent. Gradually, the Heavenly Father gave him insight into the things that he did not understand. Now, brethren, it's been a long time since Brother Russell passed away. But keep in mind this one thing. When Brother Russell was searching for the truth, he didn't have the volumes. How did he find the truth? Gradually, the Heavenly Father gave him insight into the things that he did not understand. This, as the Scriptures clearly declare, was through enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. You can have the volumes. You can have the Bible. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of enlightenment, of understanding the plans and purposes of God, you're not going to have the truth. It's as simple as that. This God has promised to those who would diligently seek after the true knowledge and purposes of God. And this gentleman from Old Allegheny never claimed to have a special revelation. The gifts were given to the early church. He never claimed any of those, because only the apostles received those gifts. He searched. He studied. He found that the promises of God are centered around one important truth. That there is one mediator between man and God. Only one. And that was Christ Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and is not yet being testified. We witness the truth to all the earth. The message that we print goes to every nook and corner of the earth. Yet, is the ransom being fulfilled as far as they are concerned? Brother Russell's eyes were open to see that it was by one man's disobedience, by Father Adam, that sin and death came. And it was by one man's obedience did the release from sin and death come. And that was one man's obedience, Christ Jesus. Many shall be made righteous, Romans 5, 12, and 19. Because of Jesus offered himself in sacrifice, finishing his course on the cross of Calvary, he found grace and acceptance in the eyes of the Father, and he was raised from the dead by the mighty power of God. He was granted glory, honor, and immortality for his great obedience even unto death. He was granted that at his resurrection. The moment he was raised from the dead, he was that glorious, supreme, immortal being. And he was set at that time at the right hand of God in that particular realm. Yes, my dear brethren, because of this, the whole human race was purchased from sin and death, and in due time, all will profit from that great deed. In due time, all are not profiting yet from that great deed, from that great sacrifice from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Each in God's time, as God has granted the time period for each element. And now is the acceptable time to make your calling and election sure. Now is the time for the church to be gathered. And that's it for now. We know beyond a shadow of doubt that there will be both a heavenly and an earthly kingdom, each having its own requirements for existence in those realms. As Brother Russell began to see the many unfolding features of God's plan, the joyous message of peace and joy soon spread throughout this area. Much came by personal discourses, others by the printed page of the newspaper, and by publications on many biblical subjects. And many persons in this western Pennsylvania responded to this message of truth and great joy, the glad tidings of the gospel. And the message soon spread throughout the country and many parts of the world. In 1904, a convention was held in the Opera House in Johnstown, and it drew about 100 persons. So you see how long it's been since there's been a convention here in Johnstown. 94 years. Thus, how many remained to follow that precept of God's word, I was not able to determine. But I do know the several little groups of the Lord's people assembled in several of the little coal mining towns that surround this city. And in my lifetime, I had the wonderful privilege of serving these communities until they all passed beyond the veil. It was a great joy to know them, to fellowship, to study with them. Some of these were not only ties of brotherhood, but also ties of families who accepted the truth back in the early 1920s. Here, as in many places, these dear ones have gone home, but the memories of them and the legacy of truth that they passed down will always remain. There are a few in this area of consecrated believers who still live in the surrounding areas and continue to fight the good fight of faith. In a 1930 edition of convention reports, the second general reunion of Bible students was held at 610 Arch Street, Northside, Pittsburgh. Now that is only a memory. There is no 610 Arch Street anymore. In the 1960s, that whole area was dismantled and a large shopping center was set up. But for those of you who had the privilege of being at conventions in 610 Arch Street, many conventions that we served there were 3 and 4 day conventions. And there was as many as 400 brethren at 610 Arch Street. Now, you can't imagine, unless you've seen it, how do you put 400 brethren in that little hall? Well, you didn't. They stood out in the halls, and we sat on the stairs, and they went down. But the brethren that spoke in them days, they didn't have the microphone, but they had loud voices. Brother George Kendall, Brother Wilson, Brother Zano, and all these brethren had booming voices, and they were able to speak as you could hear them out in the hall and down the steps. and the conventions were attended very wonderfully in those days. But there was a general reunion of Bible students held at that time. It was held in the old Bible house, a chapel, in what is old Allegheny, and there was over 400 brethren in attendance at this particular convention we're mentioning. Yet the chairman for the occasion, as many of you remember, was Brother George M. Wilson. And the closing speaker of that convention in 1930 was Brother Norman Woodworth. These two would continue to spread the message of peace and joy for all mankind through the Frank and Ernest radio programs, an effort that still continues to this day. That same message of truth that was presented by Brother Russell, Brother Wilson, Brother Norman Woodworth, is still being presented today. Brethren, the truth message that brought these devout ones to the Bible house so many years ago is still the same message of peace and glad tidings that draws us to this place today. Though many changes have taken place, and there are many changes still taking place, there is one thing that remains unchangeable. It remains constant. And that is that God is unchangeable. We may change. Our friends may change. But God has not changed. And what does that tell you? It tells you that if you have God's truth, and you receive God's truth in the beginning, it never changes. It should be the same truth you have today. Though we may become weary or tired of waiting for that fulfillment of His precious promises, He will accomplish all that He has set out to do. Nothing shall return unto Him void. And as one looks upon the poor groaning creation, are we not happy to tell them that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning? We look forward to that day when this whole earth will be happy. Isn't that the inspiring theme in your heart when you look at the human family of the suffering, the dying, the pain that the whole human earth is enduring? And we know that the kingdom of God is going to put an end to that. This dark night is going to be soon ended. Isn't that the joy that we have? We have a joy of that we, if we're faithful even unto death, that we might also be with our Heavenly Father in His heavenly realm. But we can only speculate on that. But when you think of earth, perfect earth, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, we can relate to that. That joyous condition that will fill this whole earth, and of all the billions of people, will have an opportunity to live forever on this perfected earth. This is a tie that binds, and this is a tie that draws us together, that we rejoice with one another, and we're so happy to be together, to rejoice and to speak with one another of the kingdom that God has for those who love Him. We're thankful that the Heavenly Father has called us out of this world of darkness and invited us to share with Him the things that He has in store for His human family. As soon as the Christ is complete, then that better day will come quickly and end this night of pain and death. I'm sure this beautiful message is one of the precious things that has drawn you to this campus today. Each of us desires to be edified by the message that was given by the faithful brethren from all parts of the country. Why do you remember those old brethren, those old faithful servants? Why do you remember them? You remember them because of their faith, because of their love, because of their zeal, their sufferings, the things that they endured, and because of their strength that they gave you in following the footsteps of Jesus. The convention committee has prepared a rich spiritual table for us, with discourses, with panel discussions, and time for testimony and time for fellowship. And it's up to you to take advantage of all the convention that's provided for you. And we started out yesterday, we couldn't hardly say goodnight. Everybody wanted to talk all night. But I'm sure many of you were very exhausted from the long journey here. Not quite as exhausted as I was, but you only had to come 70 miles. But in times past, I remember. Whatever the case, my dear brethren, for we who are now in the latter years of life, we can recount many of the friendships of kindred minds that were and are ours to enjoy until this very day. Whatever the case, the Heavenly Father is pleased to have us feed at this lavish spiritual table. Here we will gain strength, continue to walk in a narrow way, helping each other to maintain this precious relationship and resisting the wiles of the adversary and the influences of the world. Remember, we come here free from the three things. Free from the world, the flesh, and the adversary. And we come here to strengthen and to encourage one another and to fellowship together and to meet each other. Yes, each of us has come here with high expectations of a blessing. And I am sure, brethren, that the Lord will bless each one of us as we strive to walk this way. And when we each other bid each other goodbye at the close of the on Thursday, that we will feel a little closer to each other, to the Lord, and to our Heavenly Father. And we remember that since our meeting last summer, some of our dear ones have finished their course. They've gone home. Others have gone or are still going through varied experiences. And in all this, we know He is our helper, that He is our strength in every time of need. And there are those with us who need our special prayers. There are those who are not able to be here who need our special prayers. There are those of other lands who need our special prayers and who are remembering us in prayer even as we are gathered here. And we thank them. We thank the Heavenly Father for them. And as we look forward to the feast from this spiritual table, let us consider the words of David in the 145th Psalm. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. We have come together as Bible students, each realizing our individual responsibilities to the Lord and to the truth. We realize that we have the privilege of defending His Word against the wiles of that subtle adversary at this time. We have come here because we do not wish to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And each one of us wishes to provoke, to encourage each other, and do good works. And so we have come here this day with gladness, anxious to renew our fellowship with those of like precious faith. I don't know what your thoughts were as you were traveling here, but I had the wonderful privilege of sitting back in the back seat of the car, and my daughter and son-in-law Byron were driving, and I just kind of relaxed and took a good for a change. And as I was thinking about you, brethren, I was anticipating the joy, the fellowship of coming together and seeing all of you again, and seeing your happy, wonderful faces. There's no happiness on anybody's face on this earth like yours. No matter, and you see that happiness only when you see the brethren. Nobody has that shining in their eyes of the Word of God, the peace of God which passes all human understanding. And since, and I, as we were driving here that great distance of 70 miles, we kind of enjoyed it. I didn't have hardly time to think of all of you individually. It was so quick. But we appreciate being with you, dear brethren. We refuse to become entangled again in the systems of human bondage. We do not lean on the arm of flesh, but having confidence and explicit faith in the unfailing promises of God. The Apostle Paul has admonished us to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he was faithful who was promised. Jesus was faithful even unto death. And we want to be faithful in becoming copies of him. We have come together as Bible students, each realizing our individual responsibility to the Lord and to the truth, and the privilege we have of dispensing this word against the subtle delusions of the adversary so marked at this particular time. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And are we not witnessing the days of the Son of Man? We are living, brethren, we are living in the most momentous time in the history of the earth. Never in the earth has there been such a time as now. And we are witnessing it. We are witnessing the end of an age. We are witnessing the coming beginning of a new age, an age of glory, an age of peace and happiness. And the privilege we have in defense of his word against the subtle delusions of the adversary. The purpose of this convention is to unitedly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. To unitedly do that. And to encourage one another as soldiers of the cross to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold upon eternal life. The reward for faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord, whom we all love and serve. The basis of our fellowship is none other than the ransom sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the most important doctrine taught in the Bible. For every feature of the divine plan and purpose is dependent upon the shed blood of Jesus, our Lord and our Master. And so, dear brethren, may our hearts be attuned to the words that will be spoken in the next 6 days. May we take them to heart. May we appreciate the efforts of the brethren who will serve from this platform and appreciate their sacrifice and the sacrifice of each one who has come. And so, dear brethren, again, on behalf of the General Convention Committee and all the brethren who will serve, welcome to the 1998 General Convention. May the Lord bless each of his children richly as they strive to serve and to please him. And may we remember those who have desired to be here but could not. Remember them in your prayers. They had a desire, but the Lord saw fit otherwise. We are indeed thankful for each moment that has been granted us to withdraw from the woes of the world for this little season, because we have come here to gain strength and feed upon his loving and precious words. I say the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you each one feel that you are indeed welcome here. We appreciate you, and don't hesitate to come to us, and we will try to talk to each one of you and to thank you for your presence here to make this convention a success. And the Lord bless you all and keep you in his perfect peace. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.